question the word God, which we do quite a bit. What is the first image that comes into your mind? That little pond. I've recently been to an exhibition at the National Gallery to see images made 600 years ago or so ago of their idea of God. They were made in Siena. They relate to Jesus, the Trinity, saints and the church, and none of them is very big. There was a lot of gold involved. And some of them were framed three together, each depicting God in three persons. There were lots of different images which were made to be framed together to form altar screens, but mostly, at some point, they'd been dismantled, they'd been flogged off, and they came from all over the world. And this exhibition, which is finishing, I think, at the end of next week, put some of them together for the first time in hundreds of years. So, to return to your picture of God, with or without the God, God the Father, perhaps a childhood picture, perhaps like William Blake's bearded God, the Ancient of Days that we sing about. God the Son, perhaps a Sunday school picture of Jesus as meek and mild. Though, as we've seen in a lot of recent readings, he proved exceedingly fierce when people who should have known better took advantage of other people who had no power. And what about the Holy Spirit? Energetic, vibrant, colourful, but above all, elusive. We rarely see the Holy Spirit centre stage in the Bible, except at Pentecost. In great artworks, we may find we're hunting for the dove that represents the third person of the Trinity, which is often rather small and not terribly obvious. Even artistic imagination fails rather when it comes to the Holy Spirit, and that helps us to realise that there are no words or images which are in any way adequate. However, today is Trinity Sunday, and we're invited to put those three aspects of God together. In a famous Russian icon by Rublev, we see the three of them, you can look it up, but I'm afraid I couldn't bring a picture. We see the three of them who are beautiful, equal beings, and they are sitting around a table. And if we follow their gaze, not only does it take us around the three of them, as each looks at another, but it also includes us, drawing us in. European paintings, on the other hand, tend to portray God the Father solemnly supporting Jesus on the cross, and the Holy Spirit as the dove, hovering between them. Another way in which love and energy flows within the Trinity, or is imagined to, is in the form of a shape like a clover leaf, which the Celtic Christians used, three points the same distance apart on the circumference of a circle, technically known, I believe, as a triquetra. Every year, on Trinity Sunday, we are invited to revisit our ideas, our experience of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And every year, we probably wonder why the church calendar gets us to do this. Is it just to fit in a Sunday, you wonder? Or can we see and relate to each and all of them in new ways if we actually engage with it and try? And does that make any difference? First reading from Proverbs gives us a way in, or even though it's not immediately obvious, because it mentions wisdom. The idea of wisdom doesn't necessarily engage us. It all feels a bit too earnest to be attractive, and we tend to switch off a bit, perhaps. as we often do with parts of the Bible which don't immediately captivate us. I suspect we all do this, but it's tricky to admit sometimes. But perhaps the most straightforward way to relate to wisdom is not by thinking it's difficult to achieve and that it's about learning. It's that wisdom enables us to perceive the heart of the matter. Wisdom just helps us to see more as God sees. Wisdom in discernment, in understanding, has her own distinct voice. Not only in our meeting today, thank you, Barbara, but in our everyday lives. In that passage, she tells us that she is always present, has been present even from the beginning of creation. She witnesses and participates in the world being made. She shares in the wonder of creation, expressing the joy and the delight of it. Perhaps one of wisdom's greatest gifts to us isn't serious at all, at least not in the sense of being earnest. Maybe we too are to take joy and delight in creation by and with God, because we are privileged to be part of that too. So having started with pictures, I'm going to conclude with the words of a song, a spiritual, which you all know or have heard. We need reminding that we'll see everything a bit differently next year, tomorrow, anytime, and that it's good just to be part of creation, to nurture it when we are found in it, and to look after it as best we have. Yes, it's a big ask, but at least it's not complicated. So that's spiritual. It is the gift to be simple. It is the gift to be free. It is the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in a place just right, it will be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we shan't be ashamed. To turn, will be our delight. So by turning, we come round one. Amen.